Welcome to Playing Fallout. I'm your host, Augie Bylot, and this is where we explore success, fulfillment, and the power of purpose. Each episode is dedicated to meeting and learning from people who not only make money, but make a difference. Whether it's lifting others, providing access to services, or whatever is their passion. We're believers in the concept of enlightened wealth, success that serves others. Now, my three primary mantras are play full out, hence the name of our podcast, the T principle, which stands for taking effective action. It's using our time, our energy, our resources in the most effective manner possible. We'd rather invest them than simply spend them. Number three, service and gratitude is more than just a platitude. Now, on these podcasts, you're going to meet many amazing people from all walks of life and even different parts of the world. Today's guest is a very good friend of mine, Jonathan Christian. Now, hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Hey, all the way from British Columbia to sunny Florida. I'm doing great.
Yeah, exactly. And folks, Jonathan is the founder of an amazing company called We Make Stuff Happen. It's an innovative Canadian-based digital marketing and training agency that helps businesses and nonprofits around the world tell their story online and on the ground. Jonathan, I am so thrilled that you're here with us today.
I'm honored to be here, my friend. It's always a pleasure spending time with you.
Well, you know, you and I have known each other for a few years now, and It has just been such a joy to watch the transformations you've helped so many people make. And even the transformations you've made, you know, as we continue to evolve and grow.
Exactly. And
I'm just honored to call you friend.
Ditto, my friend. Ditto.
So let's maybe start here.
Yep.
When you hear the word success, what does that conjure up in your mind?
Thank you, first of all, for sending me the question so we could prep and be right on point. I've always heard the phrase, you know, it should be a win-win. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, it's a win-win-win. I would say you need to win because otherwise there's no point in doing it. But I'm also a pay it forward kind of guy. So I want somebody else to win as long as I win. You know, so we can both win, awesome. But life's more, a lot more than just money. You know, there's a planet that we need to look after. There's a spiritual realm that we're all a part of. So for me, success is like, I live in my gifting, I help somebody get their story straight and they live in their gifting and it makes a difference in the world and in the kingdom, then it's success.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, my whole philosophy has been win-win or no deal for my life.
Yeah. Yes.
And even if it's good for me and it's bad for the other guy, I'll struggle to sleep at night.
I know. I mean, but there is a higher level with both looking after our environment and also this kingdom principle of like not using plastic water bottles or just, you know, helping other people out who just don't have it, you know, whether they can afford you or not. There's got to be that kingdom principle to success as well, I believe.
Well, what's the biggest factor that you think has helped you to become successful?
Well, I'm blessed. I'm totally blessed. And when you realize that and you get up in the morning and you're grateful for whatever it is, the fact that you just wake up, that you have clean air to breathe, clean water out of a faucet. I mean, that's pretty good. You know, compared to a lot of people already, that's pretty good.
You bet.
So for me, I'm just grateful for everything. I mean, I've had a lot of good stuff in my life. I had a lot of horrible stuff in my life. But providing you just see the positive, even when it's a cloudy or rainy day, you know the sun's up there above that cloud somewhere. Mm-hmm. You have to always see the bright side. Because as soon as you just dwell on the dark side or the darkness that's around you, it just pulls you down and you can't pull yourself back up very easily. So I'm just this eternal Peter Pan optimist, I guess.
Okay, well, hey, optimism and an attitude of gratitude makes it tough to have a bad day.
Yeah. And hard work. Let's not be unrealistic, but anybody who says the law of attraction is just manifesting wealth, I'm waiting to see that one work. You have to work hard.
Yeah, my dad said it was all a matter of luck, and he felt that the harder he worked, the luckier he got. So, you know, work may be a four-letter word, but does make it vulgar. So,
yeah.
Now, you mentioned the fact that you're blessed. And so how has faith, you know, helped lead you on a path of success or if not the path to success, how has it helped you meet challenges? Because I know you've met and overcome some pretty significant challenges.
Well, first off, I always try and recognize the source of where the referrals come from. Mm-hmm. I had a call 2 weeks ago. I was just making coffee. My phone rang. This lady picked me up. She said, "You don't know me. I literally just found you on the internet. And I read your bio. I went to your website and went, oh my gosh, I have to call this guy. I love his work." You know, do you call that the internet, you know, and just good SEO, or do you call that a divine intervention? You know, you choose. But as it happened, we're both of a very similar mindset. We had an amazing conversation. She bought a program. I've helped her up-level her husband's ministry. You know, where do these things come from, right? So there is that serendipity or whatever you want to put it to it. But at the same time, having faith that somebody comes your way, you can overcome it. Like, well, there are three times in my life for sure when the odds were so against me, it looked impossible to overcome. And all three times I just sat back or I got on my knees and went, "God, you know, I'm SOL. You know, there's nothing here that I can do. I have no money left. I have no one to talk to, but I know, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, which dad would give his kid a scorpion when he asked for an egg? I mean, that's the principle. And God just loves us. And if you just recognize that despite the darkness and just go, I think it's called a like the wilderness experience. You have to be in the desert to be able to get back out again and appreciate things and go to another level. So for me, faith is like, I don't get it. I don't see it. But I know you have a greater plan than I have. And I'm going to keep focused. And I know it's going to come around. And you know what? It always does. And it comes around bigger and better.
That's true. You know, it's interesting. We can get kind of spoiled sometimes or almost feel entitled. And then you travel to somewhere else. I loved your example of, you know, going into the desert so you can come out again and appreciate what you've got. It's similar to these wheelchair distribution trips that we do.
Yes.
You know, you're going to a third world country many times and you get off the plane when you come home and you literally kiss the ground and say, "There but for the grace of God. Okay. We were born where we were born and get to live where we get to live." And other people did not start out with the tremendous opportunities that we have, especially here in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And it is kind of amazing.
Yes, indeed.
What would you say are your success habits? You know, everybody I know that's become successful has certain things that have become habit with them. What are you?
I have quite a few. The first one is I'm an early riser. It's my favorite time of the day. And I have a kind of a routine. I mean, I get up, I have some water, I do my bathroom bits and whatever, and then I have time just to dedicate my day, think about all of the people that work with me, my clients, just, and it just gets me in focus and gets me in real relationship with what my day should be and, you know, how I can serve people best. And that's an hour. And if I don't get that hour, I always feel a little discombobulated through the day. Next thing I do is, every day of the week, I then make a fresh cup of coffee and I bring it up to my wife, my queen, and I, either she's awake or I kiss her on the cheek and I wake her up. Because I couldn't be me if I didn't have her. And I'm very fortunate. I know, you know, a long marriage isn't for everybody or marriage isn't for everybody, but it is for me. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, I can only be me because of support that she gives me. So the very least I can do is treat her like a queen with a cup of coffee first thing because my day goes pretty crazy. And, you know, people say, "Well, what does your wife do?" I went, "She looks after me. That's a full-time job. You know, we have a house, we have a family, we have a workforce that she works out of our home office here." And Debbie just makes all of that happen. So she's one of my secrets of success. My meditation, my prayer time, my faith journey is a second section. And the other one is just like, work properly. You know, do right by people and it will always come back to you. So I'm never one of these, you know, stab people in the back and run or cut and burn. I mean, those success principles, you know, don't even feature in my repertoire.
Yeah, I once talked to a contractor about his warranty program. Mm-hmm. We offer the taillight warranty. Every bit of our work is guaranteed until you can't see our taillights anymore. I said, well, we're probably not going to work together very well or very long. No. So I appreciate what you're saying because you're right. What goes around comes around, as they say, or karma, or however you want to look at it. We reap what we sow. I think that's the biblical perspective on it. Now, you know, like everyone, you know, we're human and we make mistakes sometimes. What kind of mistakes have you made along the way that you've learned from and that maybe imparting them to others could help others either avoid them or learn from them faster?
I guess my biggest mistake that I made in business, I was in my early 20s. My wife and I bought a clothing store from a friend. We loved it, paid it off within a year. Decided I needed a second one in a different part of town for a different demographic. Just felt that it was the right thing to do. And I didn't have the money. And a friend of mine who mentored me said, you know, I always like a business to run 5 years. And then if that's going really well, then I'll do another one. But one thing I never like to do is leverage money that I don't have. Because he said, if you're already leveraging what you don't have, then you're beholden either to the bank or somebody else. And if the economy goes down, it's all back on you. Now, I know, Olga, you've got some amazing leverage techniques and I could have learned from that, you know, today. But at the time, I just went to the bank and I took a massive line of credit. I did not fix the interest rate. This was 1990 approximately in the UK. Interest rates doubled within like 9 months. They went to like 18%. Mm-hmm. And disposable income disappeared. People were foreclosing on mortgages because they couldn't make the payments. And there was me with a store full of clothes that nobody was buying and this massive debt. And realistically, I did it too fast, too soon because of ego. And really, I didn't have the backup or the rainy day fund to even dip into. I was just over leveraged. And I learned from that, you know, credit cards are for buying things when you have the money to pay for it in the first place. They are not a bank account. And you do not borrow money that you don't have the ability to pay back. So that's kind of been, it's probably trimmed my wings in some decision making, but at the same time, it's kept me safe for a very long time.
Well, you know, it kind of creates two things, humility and wisdom.
There you go.
Two different characteristics. I don't think we're born with either one. They have to be developed. And, you know, it's a function of experience and things that we experience, we will learn from. You know,
yeah. The other thing that I've learned is that my wife has very different intuition than me. Mm-hmm. This is probably the greatest asset that I have in my business, is when I have an idea, and I'm an idea guy, and I have too many of them per day, but the good ones, when they hang around and I think it through, mm-hmm. I have had the temptation in the past to just run with it because it's a really good idea. And the two times that I've run with an idea and my wife said, you know what, honey, I'm not really sure about this person, or you know, this doesn't feel right to me. And I was like, honey, don't worry, I got it. Both times, I totally burnt my ass. Excuse the phrase, but I did.
That's
so now, when, you know, when I have an idea and I run it by my wife and she went, I'm not sure about that. I literally stop dead in my tracks and say, okay. And I don't even argue with her anymore because I think she's been given a sixth sense that I don't possess. And I rely on that 100%. You know, right or wrong, it's like when you're on a GPS and Waze says, go right. I went, no, I know this road, go straight. I said, go right. I went, I'm going right because Waze told me to. If Debbie says, I'm not sure, I don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've kind of wrestled that same alligator more than once. And I agree. My intuition is not always perfect.
Oh, the ideas are amazing, but you know.
More accurate.
You need a counsel.
Yep.
You need a counsel.
So what do you think was the hardest decision you've ever had to make and had to go about it? I mean, you've run a pretty successful business.
I thought about this a lot. I mean, I had to let somebody go from our team recently after a year of working with us. And there was, I won't say why, but there were some trust issues. And in the end, you know, she broke the circle of trust and we had to go. But for me, that's a mom with a family and an income that needed that job. That's hard. You know, when you make those decisions, you don't make them lightly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes hard decisions have been when I have a piece of business that's comfortable. It's served me well in the past, but it really isn't serving me now. But there's just this comfort piece and just saying, oh, but it's only $500 a month profit, but you know, if things go wrong, I still got that. Mm-hmm. But when I look at what I can do with my time, it's really not a good use of my time. Whereas it was 6-7 years ago. So sometimes I have to realize that a season has ended, and I have to sort of gracefully let go of things that really helped me in the past. And I want to just, I think that, I can't remember her name now, the Japanese home decor lady, Marie, oh, blanking on her name. But she helps people let go. And she said, you know, hold it, give thanks for what it did for you, and then just bless and let go. Her name may or may not come back to me, but so I've had to learn to let go. But if I was truthful in business, and I was brought up by my mom and dad. I worked in a family business. My mom was my mentor for my whole life until she passed away. And I think probably the hardest physical thing I've ever done in my life so far was saying goodbye to her when I knew she only had a couple of weeks to live in a hospice, and I had to come back to Canada. Mm-hmm. It'd been for a week, and we didn't know how long mom was going to survive. I had a whole week with her, but I knew that was goodbye. I knew I would never see her again this side of glory. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, walking away and walking through a door and walking down a hallway, phew, I still feel it. Hardest thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Hardest thing I've ever done. And I so appreciate when friends lose children or parents or pets even. You know, death is tough. Yeah. You've got to put yourself out of that.
No, I can appreciate that.
Isn't that real, my friend?
Okay, well... No, this is all about being authentic and, you know, sharing what's on your heart, you know, yep. We all learn from, it's how we grow.
That's probably a message for somebody.
Yep, I'm sure. You know, I remember when my mom was on her deathbed and I had just published my first book and I handed her this book and she said, oh, that's nice. I said, Mom, you see the name on it? Oh my goodness, that's your name. And I turned it over, my picture was on the back cover. Oh God, that's you. And so it was just, you know.
Yes.
And that was the last time I had seen my mom too. Because she was up in New York and we're down in Florida.
Yes, yeah.
Kind of thing, so, you know, but that is part of the circle of life.
And totally, yes.
Done, so I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Do you have a role model?
Yes, and it changes. Well, my mom and dad, for sure, because mm-hmm. I was brought up in a third generation family business, and those old school customer service family values still mm-hmm. sit. My dad's voice rings in my head every day when the scenario comes up. You know, of late, you and I were both in a mastermind recently, and for a couple of years, and Lisa Santovich very much became my role model for just how out there she was and just doing what she does best. Mm-hmm. And for a couple of years, I just had to really wrestle with, like, who am I and what do I do best? And then build a machine around me so I could actually go do that. I love Richard Branson for all that he does and all that he's ever done. There's an internet guy you may have heard of. His name is Mark Schaefer. He's written a book called Marketing Rebellion. Probably one of the brightest, wealthiest internet marketers out there, who is also the most humble. And I think for me, the biggest thing that I want to do is serve people really well, be very successful, and be very humble. Mm-hmm. As my dad was very humble, I wouldn't say he was very successful. He was a very proud man. But somewhere in that ether of those kind of people, I look up to a lot of people and I follow a lot of people and, yeah.
Well, we need role models. I mean, otherwise we're always inventing it from scratch.
Totally. And what's interesting, Augie, is that for a lot of people, you and I are their role models. And that's pretty, you have to stop and think, oh my word, here we are. And we offer each other in terms of both accountability and sure. I watch what you do on your stage and your live events and your social media, and you've seen the same with me. Mm-hmm. And I think we do role model each other very much, the two of us. And I'll say Augie Bailat.
We've been connected through a mastermind, and it has been a blessing. Not just you and I, but we have a couple of others, kind of in our inner circle, and then obviously there's the larger circle in that yes. mastermind.
Yeah.
But we've been very fortunate, and the connections that we have with certain people,
yes,
always help to challenge us, keep us accountable, and keep us humble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's a good thing. What would you say is the best advice you could give to a to an entrepreneur or someone that would aspires to be an entrepreneur?
I think
it can't be go get a job.
No, it's not. I think the question is, you know, scratch where it's itching. I mean, what is it that people need that isn't being done? You know, how could you serve people in a way that makes it easy? So you think of like Uber. It didn't exist, you know, 10 years ago. And the concept of taxis has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now you just go to your phone, you find an Uber that comes to the door, you know what the vehicle looks like, what the driver is, how much it's going to cost. It filled a niche. You know, Airbnb, it filled a niche from expensive hotels. There's just Amazon. You know, you say, hey, Alexa, send me a copy of Mark Schaefer's Marketing Rebellion, and it's in the mail. I mean, life, people want easy, and they want practical, and they want quality. So for me, it's like, if you see something and it gives you angst, like Walt Disney, when he was giving his kids a weekend trip to the fairground, and they're on the merry-go-round, and he went, this is garbage. There's got to be something better to do with my kids. Mm-hmm. And now there's Disney World. So I just let your senses tell you, you know, pray about it, think about it, ask other people. It's like, if you could just have one thing that would make a difference in your life today, what would it be? And it's not $1 million. There's a lot of niche industries that I think people have yet to create. Look at Facebook. I mean, 20 years ago, didn't exist. Now it's the biggest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
It's not too late to come up with another. I'm not saying you have to go be another Facebook or Walt Disney, but there's a lot of small niches that could be filled.
You bet. And, you know, we all start out the same way. You know, we're born, we're naked, we're broke, we don't speak the language.
Exactly.
You know, I've said that how many times from stage, and it's true. So we have a lot of potential, a lot of possibility.
There you go.
So if you could start all over again, is there anything you would do differently?
Gosh. And this is the one I dwell on a lot, because I'm not a regrets kind of guy. I just thought, oh, well, let's move on. I've lived in 3 different countries deliberately. Because I just wasn't in the place that I was happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful for that stepping stone progression to get me for Canada. I think I played safe for too long and too many times when I knew I could have done something, but I decided I wouldn't be good enough. And I've always second guessed myself compared to other people. And up until very recently, I was like, yeah, there's other people who could do that better than me. And it's like, no, they can't. You could do it better than anybody. And I do lament, I mean, there's a group of social media speakers on the world stage now that back in 2012, 2013, I knew them as peers. We were on the same events. We were doing the same thing. They just owned the stage and they went with their brilliance. Mm-hmm. Now they are multimillionaires. And I do kind of go to some events now and I see them on the stage and go, crap, I could have done that. I should have done that. But you know what? I'm here today. I've helped a lot of people in my own way that I may not have helped in another way. So it's all good. But if you have a belief, an idea that you are made for something, don't let anybody stop you. Don't, especially yourself. You know, find some people around you, be mentored, sound it out, get the backing, but don't give up on the idea. Because it could be that it's the best thing that the world needs right now.
I think that's some awesome advice. And a great revelation. That kind of ties in with this next question is, you know, what's one change people should think about making right now to help them get closer to their success?
I think sometimes you have to make your job, making your job. I'm not talking a 9-to-5 job, but when you have time, you could watch Netflix. You could be, you know, sorting out stuff in your garage. There's many things that we could justify our time.
That's accurate.
But yeah, but is it the best use of your time? When you have an idea and you shelve it, you put it to one side, oh, I'll just watch Game of Thrones for 3 seasons and then I'll come back to my idea. No, that idea comes first. You know, sometimes sleep is overrated. You know, you need 5, ideally 7, 8's great. But you can do on 5. And if you have an idea and you're busy already, let that passion for that idea override everything else. You know, obviously family commitments and making money and not putting, you know, wisdom aside, but don't, I literally, in 2002, my job was finding a job because I moved to Canada. I didn't have one. Mm-hmm. I was a full-time job hunter. That was my job. You know, if you have an idea, you want to make it, you know, there's full-time, part-time, or sometime. Sometime never works. Part-time, you know, you can live with it for a season. But if you want to play full out, you know, you got to go full-time in your belief and your ideas. And there's enough time. You just have to take it off something else to make it fit.
That's true. You know, sometimes, what do they say? They call it Sunday Isle, you know, a place where so many successes vacation and never return.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's great. And I love that you shared, you know, how you choose to play full out. And I also know that you're a really generous guy with your time, with your money, with, you know, just who you are. And could you share a little bit about what's your favorite way to give back?
I think it's helping people who have a brilliant idea and life just hasn't dealt them the right kind of cards to make it a reality. I'm truthfully working with a lady right now who has stage 4 cancer. She shouldn't even be alive. And a friend of mine recommended that I look her up online because she has this amazing idea. And I reached out to her and I said, I hear you're looking for some help. And she said, I am. And I'd looked you up, but I hadn't called you because I didn't think you would have time to help me. And I went, well, you let me decide whether I've got time or not. So we met online and I didn't hear from her for a couple of months. I didn't realize she'd gotten very sick and gotten meningitis, but she pulled out. And I've taken her on as what I call a passion project. Because mm-hmm. I see the fire in her eyes. I see the difference she wants to make by making clothing for people who are going through chemotherapy, where their skin just burns and itches. And she's found this material and way of making clothing that's very loose fitting and organic bamboo cotton that mm-hmm. works. You know, does she have a company behind her to make it all and finance it all? No, but does she have an idea and a passion? Oh boy, does she. And it is my joy to treat her like my very best VIP client.
Mm-hmm.
That girl's got a fire in her belly, and you know, if she can overcome what she's overcoming, because not only shouldn't she be alive right now, she should just be lying in a hospice just saying feed me, but no, she gets up every day and she's making a difference. And when people do that, it's not about the money, it's about buying into somebody else's success. And I call these passion projects, you know, pro bono, whatever you want to call it, but that's what really fires me up. And I'm grateful that I have enough resources around me,
mm-hmm.
kind of money, that I can actually allocate some of that without worrying about, you know, the cost of it.
Well, I think that's just brilliant, you know, passion projects. And we all have something like a passion project, but you've really put a good name on it. Passion project, just perfect. And it is a great way to serve. It is a great way to give back. You know, I just so enjoyed having the opportunity to talk with you today. And, you know, everyone should know that, you know, Jonathan is not just this pretty face you see on the screen or this voice that you're hearing that's got a wonderful and lively, enjoyable accent, but he's also just a brilliant businessman. And as I said earlier, he's the founder of We Make Stuff Happen. And he has helped people create digital visibility at a level I've not seen anywhere else. And the work ethic of your team, I've worked with them personally. They are awesome. They are talented. They are kind. They are gracious. They are truly an amazing reflection of your vision, because you can tell that everybody on your team is connected to you. And you really reflect through them. Or at least you've built a culture that is just extremely laudable. And I think that's a tribute to what makes you successful. Can you just talk, before we wrap up,
yeah,
a little bit about your vision and how you kind of manifest that in your company? Because we're going to obviously appeal to a lot of new entrepreneurs.
Yes. Yes.
And that is one thing that has truly separated We Make Stuff Happen from the hundreds and thousands of people in your niche, and you guys, like the cream, have totally risen to the top.
I think the biggest, and my dad taught me this, people don't work for me, they work with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all this thing about, hey, boss, and it's kind of a joke, boss man, in our culture here, that I laugh at it. But I don't think of myself in the sort of in a horizontal, vertical fashion at all. We are just a collective, you know, and they work with me. And it is my joy to write them a paycheck. I look at those paychecks as like my investment portfolio. I'm getting my very best ROI out of hiring the best people. And that's kind of the work principle. The success principle for me is like, everybody has a great story and not everybody is very good at telling that story. And I think that what we do really well is we get to know people almost at a cellular level to see what makes them tick, see what makes them get up in the morning, to see what makes them raise money to bring 200 wheelchairs to Guatemala. And when you get that passion and of the DNA of the owner, and then my arms are in chills here. And you get the honor of building a brand and a website and a social media strategy around that person, the goal that they're trying to make a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different level of marketing. And it's not about just KPIs and ROIs and, you know, at the end of the day, profitability and bottom line P&Ls. It's about making a difference. All of that will come if you just live in your gifting. So I say to people, you know, do what you love, love what you do. Everybody's heard that phrase, but it is so true. And I think for me now, what I've upped like my level is we all know that Dale Carnegie says people like to do business who they know, like, and trust. Mm-hmm. Well, likes are 10 a penny on Facebook these days, big deal. Likes aren't going to buy anything. Nope. But if you can do business with people who you know, love, and trust, so that you love what you do so much that people receive it in the way you tell your story, and when people arrive and you pick up the phone and they feel the love, then it's a success principle that's much higher than money. And we love our team. I mean, Lindsay's been with me like eight years. I mean, most of my people never leave. I mean, they just stay and we just keep expanding. We rarely turn over. Mm-hmm. Sure, some interns come and students come and we knew it would be for a fixed period of time.
Sure.
But when you create a culture, you know, of working together, and I call it a tribe rather than a team, deliberately. Mm-hmm. People just love it. You know, they go out of the way for you. The loyalty is through the roof. And that's what you got to do. You just got to treat people better than almost than you treat yourself. And pay it forward and pay them well. Not you don't have to be the best payer. Mm-hmm. People want to work for a purpose. And that purpose gives them value.
Absolutely. Well, Jonathan, I knew you would be a wealth of information and you never under-deliver.
Oh my God.
You are the king of the over deliverers, and I truly appreciate that. I thank you so much for being with us today.
I got to take a selfie for my Instagram story for today, you know?
Oh, there you go. Well,
can't miss this opportunity. Here we go.
There you go. Okay.
Right on, man.
You're too funny. I love you. You are a good friend.
You're so welcome.
I thank you so much for being with us today. For everybody watching, we make stuff happen. .com, correct?
Correct.
Yep. You can find Jonathan. Just plug his name into Facebook and it will explode. He has an amazing presence. He is clever. He is funny. He even publishes The Shaving Chronicles. We didn't even have time to talk about that today.
No, we did not.
Jonathan will come back for another round at some point.
You're on.
But in the interim, to all my real estate friends out there, do not forget the Wheel Estate Challenge, because we're raising money for wheelchairs for all over the world. You can go to creatingwealthusa.com/wheelchair and you can donate online. It gives you the information where you can mail a check, but we're always looking to serve. Additionally, from this day until next time we see each other, never forget. Always play full out.
Amen, brother.
Jonathan, thank you.
Hey, that was fun.
That was awesome.